Welcome to the Black Entrepreneur Experience Podcast, inside the business, buzz, and brilliance of Black entrepreneurs. Here is your host, Dr. Frances Richards.
This is a bonus episode.
Thank you for joining us as we elevate the Black Entrepreneur Experience by interviewing CEOs, thought leaders, innovative thinkers, and Black entrepreneurs across the globe. I'm your host, Dr. Frances Richards, real estate, land investor, and coach at Land Profit Generator. Welcome, Jensen Young.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You know, I've given our audience such a brief bio. Why don't you fill in the gaps and share with our audience what you'd like them to know about you and your business?
Sure. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I've listened to your show and I love the energy here and I'm so happy to be a part of it. My name is Jensen Young and I am, like you said, a land flipper, really a real estate diva. I started my real estate career in multifamily properties, buying them, renovating them, and then holding them for passive income until I ran out of money. and decided I needed to do something to generate quick capital. And I was initially going to go into the world of flipping houses, but I ran into vacant land. And once I got into that world and started flipping vacant land, it was just, you know, a rocket ship from there. We went from flipping 5 properties our first year to 28 properties the year after that. And I never saw a single property that I flipped. So being able to do it remotely is great. Cash flow is nice, but I really get my passion filled or fulfilled when I get to talk to other students who are also doing this and I get to help them take their businesses to the next level. It's a lot of fun.
So do you have a real estate license?
I do not. And a lot of people think you need that in order to be a real estate investor. But the same way you can go buy your own car without going to a dealership, you can certainly buy your own house or piece of land without going to an agent.
So talk about when someone's thinking about flipping land, tell me the most exciting story.
Oh, wow. I think so. Land in itself, I'm going to be honest, it's kind of boring. I buy trees and I sell trees. So there's not much to it. But the excitement is really from the stories that I get from my clients. I had a client, they lived in China. They had purchased some land here in Florida. I live in Florida. And they bought it for an investment, was really popular to do at the height of the market. A lot of international money flowing in. Their daughter lived here, but they still lived back home. Unfortunately, the land that they had purchased was worth about $20,000, but the city did some great things. They upgraded the property. They brought water lines and sewer lines in, which is great, except they charged every single lot on that street $20,000 to do so. So this poor couple had just invested, about the height of the market, they had invested $30,000. Then they're all of a sudden slapped with this $20,000 lien because of the improvements that the city made. They didn't even have a choice, right? And so they're now $50,000 in a hole for a property that's only worth 20 grand. It was quite a challenging story. Their daughter was the only one that spoke English, but when we, you know, when she explained to us, they hadn't done it just with this property. They had done this with a lot of properties and they were just bleeding money left and right. But we were able to work with that, their daughter, get the liens reduced and then moved on to the next buyer of the property. And we were still able to buy the property from them and just get them out from underneath that burden. So yeah, it's those kinds of stories that make it worth it for us. They sent us a cute little card and everything. I couldn't read it because it was in Chinese, but you can feel the love emanating. So yeah, it's those kinds of things that we do.
Talk about flipping land and the pandemic.
That's a really interesting question. So when the pandemic first started, we didn't know what that meant for real estate in general, much less for vacant land. Now, the listeners may be thinking of all different kinds of things. So let me be very clear. The land that we flip are infill lots. So these are lots that are in nice developments. And there's, you know, somebody bought the lot, but they never built a house, right? They're ready to build properties. We also do rural land. So 5 to 20 acres, just on the outskirts of town. We don't intentionally go after them, but we do run into much larger plots of land for development. when the pandemic hit, we didn't know if people were going to be buying houses, much less building for the future, because our builders are 6, 8, 12 months out into the future. And that's what they have to think about. What ended up happening is that with the pandemic, there were so many people who were desperate to get out of the city and get their own space. I could not hold inventory for more than a month. Land was flying off the shelves. I couldn't buy it fast enough. And it's kind of continued on that trajectory so far.
So are you just buying in Florida, or are you buying nationwide?
Yeah, because you don't have to see the property, I recommend that you look at it, right? But Google Maps or Google Earth does a great job of that for you. So there's not a whole lot of need to drive and go see the tree. It's the same tree, I promise you. We flip in Florida, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia. And honestly, we can flip anywhere, but we found some nice little communities and nice pockets that we like. So we just hit those over and over again.
Someone's listening, Jensen, to this podcast, and they're saying, I want to get into land flipping. What advice would you give them?
Great. First of all, congratulations. You are the redheaded stepchild of real estate. But you've got some fun brothers and sisters ready to help you out. If you're into real estate in general, and this is your first go around, I first recommend you surround yourself with like-minded people. In every community across the nation and internationally, you can look up or Google a real estate investment association, REIA or REIA. Just Google REIA near me and groups will just pop up for you. You can also find these REIAs on meetup.com and of course in Facebook groups. Usually in Facebook, you want to search for things like real estate investment or real estate investing and you'll see those groups pop up. These groups are an excellent place for you to connect with people who do everything from flipping houses, doing rentals, multifamily, storage unit, and of course, vacant land. It's great to be a part of those communities because when you need private money, it's there. When you're flipping and you need to know who's the good cabinet guy in the area, it's there. When you're buying a piece of land and you're not sure about the area or how fast land sells, other people that can give you that information, they're there. So the number one thing you can do is educate yourself by getting in the room with other real estate investors. And if you're really serious about taking land flipping in particular to the next level, you can check me out at flippingwithoutrehab.com. Got a whole space there to help you get started. And I'm going to be honest, it's not even mine. I'm just so very passionate about the people who introduced me to this world that I can't help but share it.
What is something that we don't know about land flipping that we should?
Ooh, that's good. I think a lot of the misconceptions about land flipping is that it takes forever to sell. I don't know about you, but I've certainly driven along the highway and you see the sign next to some big piece of farm pasture that says for sale and it's got a little ecosystem growing on it because it's been there so long, right? I think that's what a lot of people think about. But that's usually because the price is wrong or they're waiting for someone who has a really broad vision of the future to take on a project like that. But when you go into the world of land flipping, it's really interesting how many people are waiting anxiously to buy. Let me give you this analogy. My husband has got in his head that he wants a Jeep. I live in Florida. It's hot. I don't like the wind all in my face. I do not understand for the life of me why anyone would want the most uncomfortable ride on the planet and then to get baked at the same time. Apparently, if you go to Facebook or Google, there are people devoted to this brand and it's a lifestyle, they say. I'm like, okay, whatever. Just because Jeep is not my thing doesn't mean there's not a passionate, devoted audience waiting to snap it up. Land is exactly the same way. So when I think about those misconceptions, I think that was the biggest one that I had to get over. I'm not the market. I'm just presenting something that a market that I didn't know about originally already wants and it exists. And I think the second thing that a lot of people, at least that I didn't know when I started flipping land, was how diverse it could be. So I got into land flipping so that I could raise cash really quickly so I could continue to buy more multifamily. But in buying vacant land, I learned techniques like wholesaling, where I buy and sell the property the exact same day, so I never have to bring money out of pocket. I learned techniques like double closing, where it's similar to wholesaling, where I am buying and selling the property the same day, but I am required to bring my own money to the deal. But because I was in a community of other real estate investors, there were people willing to give me money at the drop of a hat. They're like, oh, I'm going to give you this $30,000 and you're going to give it right back to me, you know, later today. Of course. I learned that there was money everywhere. It introduced me to cash flow. So I thought the only way that I could get cash flow was through rental properties. I was shocked when I got a piece of land. I was kind of stuck with it. It was hard for me to move. And my mentor told me, he's like, why don't you just offer terms, take a down payment, and then just take payments for the next 5, 7, 10, 15 years, whatever they can afford. And I was like, oh, okay, I can do that. And on those deals, when I owner finance land, I'm making double the return that I can in my investment portfolio. So I'm making about 9% in my investment portfolios in the stock market. And I'm owner financing my land, usually at about 13%, but with the discounts, it comes out to about 18 or 20% return. So it's really been interesting going into this thinking, I'm just going to make money flipping land one at a time, and then being introduced to this whole world of real estate and so many different methods and ways you could do it to grow your experience and to help people along the way.
Talk about business continuity. What is your highest risk as a business owner in flipping land?
Ooh, man, you have good questions. All right. So my highest risk in this business right now, and this is a personal fault of mine, is that it is so small. So our business right now is my husband and I, and that's it. We have a few VAs, or I'm sorry, virtual assistants. So those are folks that don't live with us. They're not co-located with us, but we do farm out work and projects to them. But it is a small business. When we were looking for something to do to leave corporate, by the way, I am a corporate refugee. 13 years and climbing the ladder, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to build my own. So when I left corporate, I decided I did not want another job. And I thought that meant that I was going to work for myself and I didn't want to hear other people's issues or worry about their responsibilities. And we intentionally designed a business that did four things. One, it gave me time freedom. So I work when I want and I don't when I don't. And that's all on me. Second, it gave me freedom of location. So as I mentioned, I've flipped properties all over the place. I don't have to see them. I can do this from Mexico on vacation. I can do this on the beach. It doesn't matter. Third, I wanted freedom of relationship. Because if any of us have been in corporate for any amount of time, you realize there's some days you just got to suck it up, buttercup, and work with people that you would probably rather not work with, but you got to do what you got to do. I wanted to be able to say, I'm going to invest my time with someone. It's going to be with someone who has values and goals that are aligned with mine. That was really, really important. And then fourth, it had to be profitable. I was surprised to hear, like, not all businesses are designed to be profitable. So because of those four things, we decided early on we wanted a very lean, mean company. And it wasn't until we started having a measure of success that our estate planner was like, this is your biggest risk. If something were to happen to me, my husband's going to be far too devastated to continue to move this company forward for the next 3-6 months. You know, if something were to happen to him, my goodness, my house would fall apart. He is Mr. Dad, right? So for us, the biggest risk is the fact that we have made the decision to keep it in ourselves. So one of our goals we only work on a 12-week year. So one of our goals for Q3 of 2021 is firing ourselves from as many positions as possible and really taking ourselves out of it. So we do have that business continuity.
Jensen, what keeps you up at night, if anything?
I think it's more, and this is small, this is personal. I think it's more my family. So in all the success that we've had in real estate, I really do have some concerns about what this means for the future generations. Because in the very beginning, it was all about, I want my kids to want for nothing. I want them to have everything. And the further we get along this journey and the more people that I meet, you know, I want to make sure that my children grow up as good humans. And so it's finding that nice balance between being all in 100% on the business and making sure that I'm still giving my children the values that they need. And along those lines, my husband and I have made a decision that our children aren't going to get very much money from us. We have a strategy that we believe deeply in business, definitely in real estate. You need three things. You need good imagination and good vision and creativity. You need money and you need experience, but we don't have to have all three. And so we've done really well in partnering with other people where we're able to find a property and we're able to find a buyer, and I'm able to go out and get money from other people to make that deal happen. Now we're in a position where I'm working with students who have a property, they have the buyer, they have the experience of how to make that deal work, and they come to me and I'm funding their deals now. We've gotten to a place where what's in my brain and what I can do with my imagination and creativity is different than what my money can do. And I have far greater reach because of that. So when I think about what I worry about with my kids, my husband and I have decided we are going to give my children, our children, the creativity to think through problems and problem solves. Because if you can solve problems, you can get rich on anything. As long as you can help people solve their problems, you will be fine. If you give, it will come back to you. Because we're dedicating our entire lives to educating our children on how to do that, they're not going to need our money and they're not going to get very much of it. Because of that, we have a few foundations, none of our own because we're busy, but we have a few foundations that are going to be richly blessed, you know, when it's time for us to move on, because I want my money to do what my creativity cannot. I want my money to go out and support organizations that help people get their credit right, help them buy their very first home, and help them start businesses. Those are the things we're passionate about. But again, it's that fundamental fact that I can't reach everybody, but my money can go further than I can. And we're going to use it in that way.
Is there a social cause tied to the business?
Absolutely. So selfishly, when we first started, it was all about our family and our little microcosm. But very quickly, you realize every single transaction we do, we get to affect another family, usually multiple generations of a family. I've helped people who are transitioning into assisted living, and they just needed the money so that they could get their deposit to get in. I've helped people who are, like I said, up to their eyeballs in liens and taxes and get from underneath that rock. So it's been a lot of fun to see what we're doing for our clients. But more than that, now I'm helping other students realize how to change their own lives with real estate. I'm particularly passionate about the Black community. Some people perceive that there are these insurmountable tasks, you know, insurmountable heights. They don't have enough money. They don't have enough education. They don't have enough time. My purpose is showing people you don't need all three. But if you can give me one of those things, if you're willing to give me your time, if you're willing to put some energy into educating yourself, or if you have, you know, a substantial 401k or whatever, some savings, and that's what you want to contribute, if you can give me one of those, I can connect you with other people, or at least show you in your own market how you can find other people that you can be a blessing to, and together you can take your businesses to the next level. I'm intimidated by trying to change the whole system, but I'm really, really good at helping people figure out how to change their own household. And if we do that to enough households, the system will change itself. It'll have no choice.
Jensen, I want you to have a monologue. I want you to name the person, living or not, they've impacted your life so much. Who's that person and what are you saying to them?
So the person that has done that just walked behind me. I don't want to get emotional. But I will say my husband is not a traditional father, I would say, or maybe not a traditional guy. I don't know. It's normal to me. From this podcast, I'm sure you can feel this energy. I'm very go, go, go all the time. That man is 100% my rock. He's the one that's quiet in the corner when I wake up and say, hey, baby, I want to lend. We've got $300,000 that I need to get out of the house. Who can I lend this money to? He's the one that just quietly puts the websites together and fills out the forms. When I wake up and say, hey, I just saw this duplex for sale down the street. I think that'll be a good investment for our family. He's the one that quietly submits the offer. When the kids come home from school and If the house is loud and it's a mess, he doesn't even say anything. He just goes and, you know, fixes the dinner and gets them all situated. Every light bulb is changed. Every socket is fixed. Every, you know, running faucet is shut off. The only reason that I am as successful as I am is because I don't have to worry about those things. I don't know how I earned this, but I've got a life partner to end all life partners. It's my best friend, the love of my life, and my greatest cheerleader. And I would not be who I am right now without him.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing and being so authentic. And that was like so apropos when he walked in.
Just quietly gets his materials and goes on out. I'm like, okay, baby.
Talk to a younger you. What advice would you give to a younger you?
Be patient. In the beginning, I was very much, like I said, I climbed the corporate ladder for 13 years. Nothing could hold me back. You know, I was raised, my father raised me to be a business owner, and I pushed back really hard because I saw how you have peaks and valleys, and I didn't want that. I wanted that steady paycheck. There was a turning point that pushed me into entrepreneurship, but if I were talking to myself again, I would just say, honey, you're on the right track. You got it. Just relax. Everything that you want is coming to you. That which you are seeking is also seeking you. So walk in faith, take steps. That'll direct everything. You just got to keep moving forward and just don't stress out about it.
Talk to Daddy about him pushing you towards entrepreneurship.
Yes. So my father is... he is a serial entrepreneur, but it for some reason, I think it maybe it was just the consistency or the persistence. Every year there was another thing that we were working on, right? And so we did credit cards, we did like washing services, their mortgages. He did that during the height of the market, right? He was a mortgage broker. So all these little side hustles he always had. And he always instilled in us, you have to have a business. It's good for tax cuts and you never want to rely on someone else 100% for your income. But again, I saw those peaks and valleys. I saw like, oh, wow, we get to take a vacation to Pikes Peak in Denver. I've never seen snow before, but, and apparently had never realized altitude sickness either, but it was a good experience. But then I also saw when they lost their home, because they're so attuned to living in the moment. That scared me. And it scared me into a very safe lifestyle because although I was rah-rah for the highs, I was not ready for the lows. I'm glad I experienced that with them though, because on this side, after having, you know, paid my dues in corporate, like seeing how larger organizations structure themselves from HR and insurance and policies and bureaucracies, I was able to take that with my father, you know, that all that conversation for years, for 30 years doesn't go away, right? But when I was able to step out, I did so, but I had a lot of guardrails up, a lot of policies and procedures. And even now my husband and I have stopgaps. Like if we have to touch this bank account, like it's DEFCON 5, like we're... So we do have our safety nets in place that we've built for ourselves. But it's funny how after fighting that prophecy on your life for so long, it's like, oh, well, life just going to take you there one way or another. And so I'm really happy to have had that example in the beginning to give me the confidence of where I am right now.
Talk about that moment when you gave your notice and left corporate America.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to the decision of the more important side is when I decided to leave corporate America. So I was on a really good path throughout the organization. I had been tapped on the shoulder to work on some high-level projects. I had good management trajectory. And our CEO at the time did a town hall and mentioned that it had been a really good week for him. He had just taken vacation with his daughter, 5 whole days off. They went down to Peru, to Machu Picchu. It was a great time. And he's like, it was really, really special because it was the first vacation I had taken in 5 years. And I was like, where I'm headed, I'm not sure I like that destination. So that's when I decided it's not quite right. I don't know how to fix it yet, but that was when I was like, something's off. And then the second space, my husband and I started working towards passive income. We read a book by Robert Kiyosaki called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's very popular. And in that book, it talks about how to build your wealth using real estate. And we had started to make those steps. When George Floyd passed away, was murdered, there were a lot of conversations happening in our office. And I really commend my prior employer for taking this issue head on and not just posting a black square on Instagram. I mean, they went through extensive effort, not so much for outside training, but to get their black employees together with upper management so we could share our stories and our experiences in small groups authentically. Because it's not one person's black experience. You have to hear a wide range to really understand what's going on. And I was in a group of black women. There were about 8 of us, and we were sitting with the COO talking about our backgrounds. And one of the girls in there brought up an interesting point. She was like, you know what? You tapped on all of us because we're the top performers, and all of us have a background in performing art. I was a cheerleader. I was been on stage a lot. There were actors in there, you know, high school actors, people who did, you know, plays in school. But all of us were really good at putting on masks. And she's like, I wonder if that's why we ended up in this room. That made me really uncomfortable. And it was a black lady that said this, but it made me really uncomfortable and made me question, am I living authentically here? Do I even know how to be authentic here? And so that's when I made the decision that, you know, our finances were in a good space, but that's when I decided, all right, you've got 60 days. And we decided it was time to step away.
Was that hard?
We'd been preparing for it for a while. I think it was hard at the beginning because, you know, at work, you spend so much of your time there. That's where all of your friends are. That's where the gossip is. That's where, you know, you come in as college interns and you leave as vice presidents, and you've seen birthdays, babies, weddings, funerals, divorces. We were a family. So it is difficult to step away from that, but it was more important that I build something meaningful for my family and start living authentically. Because like I said, I am not in a position to change the system, but I am in a position to change households one at a time. And in order to have the space to do that, I needed to discover myself and be comfortable in my skin and just step out of that environment for a little while. I had no intention of going back, by the way.
What is something that you dream about often that you have not done that you would like to do?
It's interesting. So every 12 weeks, my husband and I, by the way, I keep saying the 12 week, that's based off of a book called The 12 Week Year. And it's how we do all of our planning and goal setting and all of that. But every quarter, my husband and I make a point to add items to our bucket list and then achieve them. So there's not a whole lot. Although I will say Nigeria is on my list of places that I really, really want to go and visit. We did the ancestry.com and found out we have some significant roots there. So I just want to see it. And I want my children to see that too. Just the full experience of our heritage.
Talk about family, fun, and finances.
Ooh, okay. They all go 100% hand in hand. My family is, you know what? I will be honest. For me, the finances are the first thing. My husband has the family as the first thing. So we work together, but he'll tell you in a heartbeat. I bring home the bacon and he cooks it. It's cool. We're good with that. But it's been really fun to do this as a family. And it goes back to, like I said before, making sure that when we are with our families together, we are pouring into them what we have in our heads, because nobody can take that away from you. In any situation, if you learn how to problem solve, you will be fine. The latest project that we have is a family project. I mentioned before that my parents lost their home to foreclosure. It was an extension of the housing bubble bursting. They had loans taken out against the value. And then, you know, it's the same story that we've heard all across America, but it finally caught up. And they'd have been living with us since about a year before COVID. And a duplex came available. And rather than us just buying that duplex, putting some interest in and kind of moving on, we're like, maybe we should buy this and put it in my parents' name so that they can live on one side, have renters on the other side. And for the rest of their days, their mortgage is going to be taken care for. And as the rents go up, you know, it'll continue to give a little extra change in their pockets and they don't have to worry about that anymore. There was a little bit of pushback, a lot of pushback about, I don't want to share a wall with anybody. I don't know this neighborhood. I don't know these people. So I told my husband, I was like, oh, how about we just move into the other side with them, get them comfortable, get them used to this whole idea. And he was like, you know. So I called my sister and her husband and I was like, so would you mind living with mom and dad on the other side? You'll have your own space, your own keys, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, my sister was just like, who told you to call me? I was like, what does that mean? She's like, we're about to put our house up on the market because this mortgage is just killing us. Who told you to call me? And I was like, don't sell. don't do that. They've got a beautiful home and a great market. So they all into that house that they have right now, they were paying about $1,700 with the HOA and everything. And when I looked at the research, I was like, well, I think you can get maybe like $1,600 a month for it. So you're going to be a little bit in the hole, but you're going to save so much money by living in the duplex with our folks. It'll be fine. It'll be a wash. And, you know, you can move on with your life and keep your house. I recommended, I went to a RIA that's local here and I asked for a property manager. He went over to the place and got them $2,200 a month, sight unseen from a family moving in from out of state. And they were rented immediately. So now my sister is net positive on her house that was burning a hole in her pocket and she was about to give it up. Now she's got all of the support. My sister has three children. So my parents live right next door, tons of family support. And that property is in a family trust for all three of us. So when they decide to move on to another property and they rent out their unit, now they're getting passive income. That was what was so exciting for me. I'm just giving them the down payment as a little gift, but I want them to experience what it's like to get money without a job. Even just a little bit, because once they get hooked, they're hooked. Yes, it's that duplex that I truly believe is going to change the trajectory of an entire generation. So I'm of our whole family line. So I'm really excited for that.
The word is listening. What is that resounding sound or message that your generation is saying that we should be listening to?
There's a lot of voices. And so I guess if you look at Black Lives Matter, if you look at Me Too, or even the whole issue of student loans and this crushing debt, just having to start from so far behind the line. I think what our current generation is asking us to do is to keep an open mind. They're asking for more progressive thinking. My concern, though, is making sure that we're prepared for what that new progressive world looks like. So I'm not opposed to those ideas. I think it's crucial that we have those conversations. But I understand guys that have lived their whole lives, you know, 40, 50 years in a certain dynamic in the way they talk to women and the way they treat women. And suddenly it's like, oh, by the way, this whole time we didn't like it. I understand that. But now we have to be prepared for when you're dating or does he hold the door open for you? Like, I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or otherwise, but when you do speak up, it doesn't just stop with, I spoke up and now it's on you to figure out my problem. No, we all have to come to the table and figure out what do relationships look like now? What does proper correspondence look like in those types of relationships? I'm going to say the same thing about Black Lives Matter. This kind of comes and goes, right? So we had Reconstruction, we had the civil rights, and now we're having Black Lives Matter coming. It's not enough for us to have our voices heard in the street and then not be ready to support policy that makes lasting change. Celebrate the wins. I'm really excited for Juneteenth. I've celebrated it for years as in my tradition, but I'm super excited that all of America gets to celebrate this because it truly is a part of all of our story. So I celebrate those little symbolic wins, but at the same time, we all need to be prepared to not get tired, not get exhausted. This is a long journey. And please, please, please make your voice be heard at the voting box. The streets is great to get attention, but change happens when you vote. And if you are truly, truly passionate about it, I do encourage my more progressive, or even if you're conservative, it doesn't matter one way or the other. If you have a voice and you want it to be heard, take it from the streets. Actually put yourself out there and run on the ballot. We need you to be the change we're looking for. It sounds so trite, but it's true.
Redo. Talk about an event in your life that you want to redo and why.
That's difficult for me to answer because everything that I've done has led me to where I am, good and bad. I did an exercise on Michelle Bosch is a really good friend of mine. She's actually one of the co-founders of the Land Profit Generator Method. And in a women's group, she asked us to just relax and go back to who we were 10 years ago. Just observe your hairstyle, the clothes you were wearing, where you were at and who was around you. What was your mood? Like really get into what was happening to you 10 years ago and realize that whatever was going on was exactly what needed to go on for you to be where you are right now. And showing love to that person because they are on the right path. And then when you come back here, you know, envision yourself 10 years in the future. A lot of those hopes and dreams that you have, those aspirations have come into fruition. And realize that that future you is so very grateful for what you're doing right now. It was very freeing. It was a very liberating experience. And because of that, it is really difficult for me to look back and want to change anything.
What can we do right now to support your business?
I appreciate you all wanting to support my business. You can connect with me on flippingwithoutrehab.com. And from there, you can find all of my social media just to connect. And I appreciate you wanting to do that. But I want to empower you to make changes. So if anything I've said today resonates, if you are, you know, have a little bit of money in your retirement accounts and you want to put it to work, make that work harder for you, I want to help you do that. If you are sitting in corporate and it's not really your thing and you're looking for a way to build passive income, I want to help you do that. You don't have to sign up for a program. I've got tons of free resources that I want to point to you because my mission is helping our entire race, our human race, elevate. That's what we all need to do together.
If you conducted this interview, what is the one question you would have asked yourself? I want you to ask the question and answer it.
Why do real estate versus anything else? And I guess that answer would be because of the four reasons I mentioned before. It's a flexible business and it can do it from anywhere. But in the shadow of Juneteenth, you know, when we think about in Reconstruction, what did Black people really want? When the government sat and asked, what do you want to move forward? It was 40 acres and a mule. I want some property and the means to work it. And real estate is exactly that. It's property and the education and tools to work it. It still resonates today. And that's why I like it so much.
We've come to the part of our interview. It's called Fun Facts Lightning Round. I'm going to ask you a series of questions that I want you to give me very quick answers.
Okay.
If there's something you desire not to answer, feel free to say pass.
Okay.
Are you ready for the Fun Facts Lightning Round?
I am ready.
Your first job?
Telemarketer.
Your favorite color?
Purple.
The last movie you saw?
I don't remember. Something on Netflix, I'm sure. I watch a lot of shows now. Sorry. Marvel? Something Marvel?
You relax doing what?
Yoga.
Your favorite singer or rapper?
Bruno Mars.
Your favorite dance song?
Probably Bailamos.
What food you eat every week, no matter what?
Brussels sprout salad.
Your favorite month?
November. It's my birthday.
Workout or hit the couch?
Workout.
Jensen Young, thank you so much for joining us on Black Entrepreneur Experience Podcast. Before we let you go, why don't you share with our audience the best way for them to connect with you and to do business?
Excellent. Yeah, the best way to reach out to me is with flippingwithoutrehab.com. All of the links to my social media are there. And I would love to chat with you on Facebook Messenger and get to know a little bit about you and your business.
Thank you. That's a wrap.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening and subscribing to Black Entrepreneur Experience. We would love for you to leave a review and rating on iTunes and share with your friends. For show notes and more episodes, go to www.beepodcast.com. Join us next Wednesday. And remember, green is the new black. So keep your bank accounts and your business in the black.